verse number 6 of Zechariah chapter 4. Let's start at verse number 5. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Oh, I'm sorry. That's how I read it. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Zerubbabel, the angel of the Lord said, not by might, not by power. Those are dimensions of God that we carry. Amen. You carry the power of God. You carry the might of God in your spirit. But Zerubbabel was told by the angel, or Resurrection Life Embassy of Faith, let me indicate to you that our future is not by power. It's not through power, though we are powerful. And it's not through might, though in Christ we are mighty. But it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. In other words, there's a dimension of God that we must become skillful in. We must learn how to move with his spirit. There, as we talked about a while back, before Zion travailed, see, before you have to go to war with things, before you have to travail, before you have to, amen, pull out your dunamis, before you have to, amen, wrestle, a lot of times God says, no, I want you to recognize my grace. I want you to have a capacity for my grace. I want you to be able to flow with my grace. Because there's a part of this journey, there's a part of what I have for you to do that's part of your destiny that will not be by power, that will not be by might, but will be by my spirit. It will be through grace. Hallelujah. So you're going to have to learn him. You got to understand him. You're going to have to be able to follow him. Grace in this aspect is unmerited, unearned. Undeserved favor. I love grace. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it, and there's no way we can merit it. But because of Christ and his sacrifice, now we are made worthy. Amen. No goodness of our own. And then the other aspect of it is the enabling. When need be, you know, you can rise to any occasion. The word says, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But like Issachar, we must understand times. You must understand when to fight the fight of faith and when to yield to his grace. When to let sovereign God have control. Are you understanding? He's always in control. But there are times you need to back off. Tell somebody there's time you need to let go and let God. There are times you need to just let go of things and let God handle it. Stop worrying. Stop, amen, being filled with anxiety. Stop, amen, struggling in your mind, losing sleep, losing weight. Well, that can be a good thing, but not in that sense, you know. Not through worry. You understand? Let go. And let God. Amen. Very important. All right. So we see here grace, grace. The capstone, the headstone will be placed on there with shoutings of grace, grace. Look at Haggai chapter 2. Verse 3 says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Do we understand that? Do we really understand that God is with us? What does that mean to us? If God is with you, well, let me get rid of the if. God is with you. You are born again. It doesn't mean that everything you do is exactly on point or right, or that you live in error-free. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean is that God has covenanted, and he's a covenant God, and that he is with you. Jesus went so far as to say, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you, but I will be with you even unto the end of the world. That means a lot to us, but I wonder if our attitude or our behavior, if it is equal to the understanding of that him being with us. You see, do you try to do a bunch of stuff yourself without acknowledging God? You know, do you always revert to what you can do without acknowledging what he wants to do? I mentioned the other morning what our cross is. For all you ladies, your cross is not your husband, even though you might think it is. For all you brothers, your cross is not your wife. It's just my cross. It's not your mother-in-law. Not your boss on the job. That is not your cross. Tell somebody, that's not your cross. So stop trying to carry it. Those are things you have to let go. You got to let God have that. Those are things out of your control. What your cross is, this is the cross. Let me just, you know, we do the cross like that, right? There's one bar there, the vertical, and the other bar is the horizontal. The cross is where your will crosses God's will. And they're not the same. And so Jesus says, if any man come after him, after me, let him first deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. So that means the cross is something you have control over. You have control over other people. You don't have that control. But you do have control over your will versus God's will. When God's will, or your will, let me say, goes contrary to what you know to be God's will. Amen. That's where now you have the choice. And see, we're to pick it up daily. That if we're going to follow him, then we must pick that up daily. Now, God is not always at you about something. Amen. But there are times where he wants something, and he knows better than you. But yet your will crosses his will. That's where you deny yourself. Hello? That's where you lay down your life. See, that's the thing. Nobody can take your life. You don't have to get in agreement with God. You don't have to. Tell somebody, I ain't got to. Only appointment you really have is appointment with death. If you live long enough, or if Jesus don't come back, that's the only appointment you have. That's the only thing that you really got to do. But when we pick up our cross, you see, we have to willingly. Jesus said it this way, no man takes my life. Nobody can make you. And it's not even God's will to try to make you. That's what the wilderness is all about, to get you to where you willingly. You know, you don't even like when you always got to make somebody try to do something. You don't even want an employee. You always got to make them work. Make them leave. get out of here. You get tired. You got to make them. Every little thing, they don't do anything but what they have to. No, God, see, when you really pick up your cross, you are willing now. Whenever you are desiring something that is contrary to God's will, you in other words, you pick up your cross. Tell somebody, because God's got something better. He knows better. And so when we pick up our cross daily, what we are doing, we are determining, we are making a willing effort to die to ourselves. Okay? And that's picking up the cross. That's the cross. And that's what God wants us to learn, because his aspirations, his design for our life is always greater than what we perceive. Many times we want just immediate gratification. We want it now. But God says, no, pick up your cross. If you carry your cross all the way, you see, there's a whole nother dimension of life than the life even that we have now. When you carry things to the cross and you die, see, the cross is symbolic of death, dying to self. In your flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Face it. Own up to the fact. In your flesh there dwelleth no good thing. As a matter of fact, only thing that comes out of the flesh is humanistic stuff. No matter, you know, right around this time of season, people are giving. Come January. Until you get out of my face. You don't know me. But right now they're giving. It's humanistic. It's just, you know, human nature. That's the best the flesh has to offer, but it ain't for real. Anyway, they're trying to do it to get, you know, get something back on their taxes. A lot of them, not everybody, but you understand me? That's flesh. And in the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. But when we die to self and we express a higher life, the Zoe life, the God kind of life, that's what carries the qualities of transformation. That's when your life can impact other people's lives for change.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 3 of Mega Grace. By my Spirit, says the Lord. The enemy comes for one purpose, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. However, he failed to understand that God is our protection. The glory of the Lord serves as our barricade from the enemy. Because you were earmarked by God, he protected you even before you were saved. We must be in position to receive mega grace. There is a foolishness in God that amazes people. God doesn't see a seed. He sees potential. What you have not tapped into is potential. God is our defense, and 2015 is a year of fulfillment and manifestation.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us tonight at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our services begin at 7:30 p.m. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.